back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, chatting here today with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Operation Project Manager at Tuttle Creek, Brian McNulty, and Riley County Emergency Management Director Pat Collins in studio with us here. We're talking about the levels at Tuttle Creek Lake. 1115.87 was the lake level here this morning. It's almost 41 feet above multipurpose level. The release is 4,000 cubic feet per second and slowly falling.
200 as of, well, later this morning.
Right, that's correct. And let's talk a little bit about the difference here, about how that's determined, releasing. That's something you don't have control over, as I understand it.
Correct, yeah. The basin conditions are evaluated in both Kansas City and Omaha, Nebraska, our districts in Kansas City, Missouri. And they calculate river flows throughout the basin and then determine where they can route water out of the lakes and down the river. There's a substantial part of the basin that's not controlled by dams, and so that water has priority to go through the system. As far as the lake's concerned, there's two ways to get water out of the lake. That's through our outlet works. That's at the west end of the dam in Riley County, and then there's the emergency spillway at the east end of the dam in Pottawatomie County. Right now, there's not even water on the gates at the east end in Pott County, and so the emergency spillway, we could open the gates right now and no water would come out. And we've only used those gates one time in the history of the lake, and that was in 1993. So those are emergency gates. They're not operations gates. We do have four gates in the tower and on the Riley County end of the dam. Those are capable of filling the channel alone. We just got done with a contract on those gates. All of them have been recently serviced. All four are in service, and that's where we're making releases from today. So they're capable of pushing out up to about 48,000 cubic feet per second, which is well over channel capacity of the Blue River downstream of the dam.
Now, knowing that you've only had to ever use that one time, how do you know that it's going to be, if in an emergency situation, that it's going to open okay? How do you determine that?
Basically, the flood pool has to be filled, so the lake has to rise and be forecasted to rise above an elevation of 1136, which is the top of those gates. Once the lake is forecasted to go above that, then the decision is made to use that. There is a transition period. Normally, we would be at a pretty small release, relatively speaking, once the decision is made to open emergency spillway gates. So there's a transition to ramp up and start filling the river channel downstream in preparation for the larger flows.
Understood. Okay. Do you have something else, Pat?
Yeah, I was just gonna remind people that when the water does get up on the floodgates a little bit, there's leaking around there that's normally going to happen the way the gates are built.
Yeah, those are not watertight gates. The bottom of the gate seals against the concrete well, but there's a designed half-inch gap along the sides of the gates up along the concrete. So, yeah, once water gets up above the spillway weir crest where water can touch the gates, there'll be water leaking around both sides of the gates. So especially on a warm, sunny day, the concrete slab below the spillway will have water all over it.
And I remember when we had the joint meeting here a couple weeks ago, a lot of people have questions here. They see that it's getting closer to that level that it was in 93, but even though we're getting closer, we still have a long ways to go. That it takes a long time to get to that 20 extra feet.
Yeah, that top 20 feet is equivalent to the bottom 41 feet of the lake. So, yeah, there's a substantial amount of water that has to come into the lake before those gates will even be considered for use.
Yeah. We're speaking with Brian McNulty and Pat Collins here about Tuttle Creek Lake. Let's kind of put that into perspective here. How does this rainy season compared to that year of 1993 here? We've seen a lot already here, and we're not even into May.
Well, the high inflow months historically into the lake have been April, May, July, and June. And the main reason July is ahead of June is because the 93 flood was a July flood. There's been a lot of comparisons to 1993. 1993, the lake actually filled to a small level four times before the big flood happened in July. So we accumulated water four times and took the lake back down to almost normal levels. I guess the good news is we've now gone, as of today, gone through April. That's the highest inflow month historically into the lake. And March this year was ahead of that because we had a lot of inflow in March. So we've got 25% of the way through the the high inflow period, and we haven't had a lot of high inflows in April like we have had in March.
Well, and one of the differences that people don't realize is in 93 we had all the lakes upstream west of us were all full too, and this year those are all down.
Yeah, the only three lakes that really have water in them right now are Perry, Tuttle, and Milford, the three lower Kansas River Basin lakes.
All right, and that was obviously a learning experience for the whole area, including you guys, I'm sure, at the Army Corps of Engineers, and especially for emergency management as well. What have you learned from 1993 that maybe to prevent, issues of flooding here here in 2019 and beyond?
Well, I think one of the things that we have that we've learned is to get better information. And I know the city's out doing some modeling right now, getting new models. We have really good data from 93 and other things since then. But the LIDAR information we have now, we can estimate. We have lots more gauges, a lot more information flow that will help us better determine that. We've got a couple of websites. We've got the city website. We've got the Blue River modeling website. So people, when they may move into the area, can actually look and say, hey, am I in a flood zone? And how much water would it take being released from the lake that might affect me? So that we have lots of tools out there for people to use to prepare.
And technology's probably improved eons since that time.
Yeah, and the modeling capabilities are so much greater now. 50-plus years when the lake was built, in order to build a model, you had to send a survey crew out and do transects across the flood valley, and then they had to calculate all that information, then you extrapolated it between the transects, and the further the transects got apart, the less accurate it was. Now with the LIDAR data, which is a remote sensing from an aircraft, they can model the surface, and then with the computer technology of modeling the water flows, in 2015, during the floods on the Missouri River, our agency was actually in almost real-time modeling flood areas and evacuation map, producing evacuation maps for that flood in almost real-time. And in 40 years before that, it would have taken months, if not years, to do that same type of modeling that they were doing in a matter of days.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, and obviously there's a lot of construction, as you mentioned, here, at least in this in these notes here, that people may be interested in or not. But one of those is on the spillway bridge deck replacement. I know that's been going on for quite some time. Where is that project at right now?
So it's nearing completion. I know we've posted on Facebook that it was going to open, and the cold weather temperatures from January through March really put a damper on that project and delayed placement of a lot of concrete. The high lake levels are making it difficult to strip the forms off of the bridge now, but they have gotten some new equipment on site and are making progress on that. Hopefully by the middle of May, we've got all of the bridge forms stripped and the bridge inspected and available for opening to the public.
Very good. Anything else of note here right away that will be completed here in construction?
Well, I mentioned it previously. We just completed officially this late winter, but the last gate was put into service actually last December. We've got all four of the service gates in the tower now in full operation, so we don't have any restrictions on gates out of service in the tower, so that's good news from a release standpoint. Once conditions downstream open up, we got plenty of availability to be able to make releases.
I guess overall the good news is that it sounds like Tuttle Creek's doing its job here with the dam and the flood control here.
It is. We do have the project below the dam, the Stilling Basin Rehabilitation. They're starting excavation on the west side of the basin this morning, and that project involves placing a bunch of large post-tension anchors down through the walls. We can still make releases through the outlet works while they're doing that work, but both sides of the basin are going to be excavated here by the end of the week.
Very good. Well, we're running out of time here. I do want to give people a reminder there is a meeting going on tonight in Northview Elementary. Well, they'll talk about planning in case of flooding with City of Manhattan, Riley County Emergency Management, and the Army Corps of Engineers. And part of that will be to determine what to do if the spillway gates on Tuttle Creek Dam have to be opened. Of course, we're a long way from that here, but good information, 6:30 p.m. at Northview Elementary tonight. Dave, did you have something else?
I just really appreciate you not drawing me into the conversation, because I don't know if my anxiety meds when you start mentioning the 93 flood were going to be sufficient today. No response.
We're still a long ways from there.
Oh, I know that. I know that. But it seems like any time you bring up 93 flood, you know, I just kind of get a little hitch in my neck or something like that. But, and that's one of the things that a lot of people, a lot of people don't realize what the purpose of Tuttle Creek is, the main purpose of Tuttle Creek. And, when they see waters up there, they're obviously, showing some concern. And it's good to be knowledgeable, but, if that were to come to play, there's a lot of rain that needs to happen before that.
Yes, and that storage is what allows the lake to do its flood control purpose. I mean, it's a large volume of water that can be held until downstream conditions clear out and those releases can be safely made. So it's doing exactly what it was designed to do.
Great. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good timeliness.
Great information. Thank you guys for being here.
All right. Thank you.
Pat Collins, again, Riley County Emergency Manager, Management Director, and U.S. Army Corps of Engineer Operation Project Manager Brian McNulty, our guests here on In Focus. Also, thanks to Representative Tom Phillips, who appeared earlier on our show.
I had to get the Pat Collins theme song in here. You have to turn that up or I'm always not paying attention. Go Born to Be Alive, just for you. It's 9 o'clock at News Radio KMAN. Good morning.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's why your local Carpet One of Manhattan